When I was going into eighth grade, I experienced a crisis of confidence. My family chose to do a family vacation week in Michigan at a family camp. Way out in the woods, way out there. A family camp. And this family camp had a giant water slide. It crashed down the side of a mountain. It was truly a giant slide. It was literally the length of a football field. It cascaded down the side of a mountain, crashed down the side of a mountain is more accurate, and landed in a lake. And so if you went on the water slide, well, you better be ready to crash down the slide and land in the lake. Well, the first day my family was there, I was eager, gung-ho to go get on this slide and join other kids I was meeting there at the camp that week. And so I got on my swim trunks and I went to the top of this ledge of the mountain and got ready to go down. But I got there with great gusto, great enthusiasm, and looked over the edge and did a great big gulp. I mean, it was a crash down the side. And so then I went back and I got in line. But inside, I'm getting nervous about this. I have this crisis of confidence going on the inside. And I get in this line of people and I stand to wait to go my turn. And I'm thinking to myself, yipes, this looks really nerve-wracking. And then I'm starting to watch different people going down the slide. And I realize some people, they've obviously been here before. They're pros at going down this water slide. Some people are going down Superman style, head first. Other people are doing like swing around backflips as they go down the slide. It was really, really impressive. And then there were other people who looked like they were just about as scared as I was. And I'm getting nervous. I've got this crisis of confidence going on. And by this point, I'm only about three or four people away from it being my turn. And I'm an eighth grader, but at that point, I'm a really scrawny eighth grader, and I'm standing there looking all nervous and everything, and I'm thinking I'm maybe going to bail out of the line, and then when you know it, some teenage girls come and get in line right behind me. And so I'm like, well, I can't chicken out now, I can't bail out now, and so I'm trying to look big and mighty and tough, but inside, I'm shaking. And wouldn't you know it, all of a sudden, right up there in front of me, who steps onto the slide but a little 5 or 6-year-old. And he jumps onto the slide, and I look down the slide, and his dad is at the bottom of the slide going, come on. And so down the slide he goes, and he does great. He hollers all the way down and is laughing, and I'm like, now I'm stuck. A 5-year-old has gone down, and these girls are standing behind me, but inside, I'm just really, really nervous. And I'm still thinking, I might bail out. I might just need to suddenly go back to the cabin. I don't feel so well. And then when you know it, a dog jumps on the slide and goes down. And I'm like, shoot, if a dog can do it and a 5-year-old can do it and these girls are standing behind me. And so I just kind of threw myself onto the slide and belly flopped my way down. And, you know, it really was a crisis of confidence. And I overcame it and it proved to be fun. And the whole rest of the family camp week, our whole family enjoyed the slide and I loved it. I had a great time the rest of the week. I felt more confident. How confident are you? How confident are you in this season of your life right now? Today in Psalm 91, we'll learn that life is secure when you stick with God. Life is secure when you stick with God. Life can seem shaky. Life can seem like you're standing atop a cliff and looking down the mountain. Life can seem scary. We're faced with new adventures, new possibilities. Do we face those with confidence? You face a wild ride of life crises or financial challenges. Do your knees shake? You get slammed with a pileup of people problems at work. Does your soul quake and shake inside? Or do you boldly move forward with deep trust and confidence? Life is secure when you stick with God. So our dominant image is indeed camping and a tent. It's a dominant image within Psalm 91. Look at verses 1 and 2. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2 say, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Note the language of a shelter, a dwelling place. Some older translations say a hiding place. In ancient times, for Bible people, that was so often a tent. Many of God's people, especially during Moses' time, the Exodus and the wilderness wanderings, were perpetual campers. Yes, Bedouin lifestyle. I'm not personally big into tenting out. How many of you would say you're campers? You like camping? How about in a tent? Not so much for me. Nance and I actually got a tent as a wedding present. And she thought that was cool. I was not impressed. And in fact, it was a year before she convinced me to go camping. Well, she drugged me out to go camping. And it was one of those, like, calamity of errors, like, convergence of errors kinds of situations. We were late getting off work on a Friday night. We hadn't really packed up yet. We still needed to shop for groceries. Then we needed to stop and get firewood. Then it was already getting dark by the time we got to the campsite, and we had never tried out setting up the tent. Then we cooked over an open fire, and we ate raw meat, and the ground was hard. You know, if you don't take along an air mattress, the ground is hard to sleep on in a tent. And then I finally got to sleep, but it was a restless night of sleep. And then, wouldn't you know it, at about 4:15 in the morning, the birds are already chirping and waking me up. And I'm not a fan of camping, and certainly not in a tent. In ancient times, lots of people lived outdoors in tents. And that's where you found shelter from the elements. The scorching heat from the blazing sun, the pounding rain, bitter cold, stormy weather, you hid in your tent. And if you were on the go, you were suddenly surprised, you found a cave or a large cluster of rocks to tuck in underneath as a refuge, as a fortress. But notice for the psalmist, his idea is picturesque and packed with deeper reality. He's not primarily talking about a tangible place for physical safety and confidence. He's talking about the person who brings our soul genuine confidence, emotionally and spiritually. He's talking about the person who brings us genuine confidence emotionally and spiritually, no matter what. And he gives us this first confidence builder. Only God can make us feel confident that life is secure. Only God can make us feel confident that life is secure. You see, it's not about a place, it's about the person, God Himself. The psalmist calls Him the Most High. The Most High. He is supreme. He is ultimate. The one who is totally in control, in charge, sovereign, overseeing, and orchestrating it all. He also calls Him the Almighty. The Almighty. The All-Powerful One. And notice with verse 2, this is deeply personalized. He says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust." It's deeply personalized, soul-shaping, soul-shaping and transforming. Think about it. In life crises and fears, we typically try to find our security in other people. A change of circumstances, maybe even some new purchase, some new thrill or pursuit of an addiction or a favorite pastime to become obsessed with, or even workaholism. In reality, only God can make you feel confident that your life is secure. Only God can make you feel confident that your life is secure. Instead of these other supposed resources for feeling confident, instead, we can say, like the psalmist, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. We can place our confidence in God and God alone. Life is secure when you stick with God. Life is secure when you stick with God, when you begin to personalize it and say, my refuge, my sense of safety, my protection, my fortress is God alone. Here's where I'm placing my trust, in Him alone. Life is secure when you stick with God. Now listen as I read verses 3 through 13. Watch for, listen close for the language of tenting and of the immense, immense, immense refuge and protection the Lord is. Verse 3, Psalm 91, verse 3. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. These verses advance the concept, this concept that life is secure when you stick with God. These verses advance this concept and explode our understanding of how he works, of what he does. Here's the second confidence builder. God's protection for us is incredibly complete. God's protection for us is incredibly complete. Did you catch the images? Notice the images. A bird trap, rescued from the bird trap. A mother bird's protection, kept safe under the mother bird's wings. Armor-like coverage, night and day attacks. Oh, he's got those handled. No disaster overtakes your tent. Angelic protection. And even overcoming lions and serpents. Notice it doesn't say, you'll never face any of these challenges. This is not a promise of a carefree, tiptoe through the tulips style of life. Instead, there's the promise of strength, confidence, and protection for your soul in the face of those challenges, for your own life as you walk through those challenges. And even the strength to be an overcomer when normally you would want to run away. Did you notice it? You will trample on the lions and the serpents. One more confidence builder in this psalm. One more. Confident living comes when we stick with God. Confident living comes when we stick with God. Look at verses 14 through 16. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Do you catch how the voice shifts? The voice shifts. Prior to this, there's been this description, but now suddenly, notice who's speaking. The Lord. The Lord is speaking. The word love right here. Love is a unique word choice for the ancient author. It's actually an intense word that means to be attached to something or someone in a ferociously devoted way. Like really attached, like won't let go. When I was about 10 years old, my dad and I went fishing with my friend Shane. And Shane's dad. It was early morning fishing out on a foggy lake. I still remember it. And we caught no fish. But Shane caught a turtle. And so, since that was the big catch of the morning, Shane asked if we could bring the turtle home, and his dad said yes, and so we're driving home. Shane and I in the back seat, and Shane has the turtle out, and he's playing with the little turtle. The turtle, of course, has his legs out of the shell, and is doing this, and then it would pop its head out, and Shane would stroke its nose, and was messing around with this turtle, and all of a sudden, we went around a curve, and Shane had been holding the turtle up like this, and as we went around the curve, he lost grip on the turtle, and the turtle jumped from his hand and grabbed onto his ear. Apparently, it was a snapper turtle, and the turtle grabs hold of his ear, and Shane is suddenly flailing around in the back seat, and no joke, he is grabbed onto his ear, and no joke, there's blood flowing, and poor Shane is screaming and kicking, and his dad dives for the ditch with the car and gets out and is trying to help Shane get the turtle. That turtle was stuck on Shane's ear. Now, eventually, we managed to pry it off and all. Everybody was fine. The turtle was fine. Shane was fine. But that turtle, latched onto his ear, was stuck there and would not let go. And that's a little bit of the idea behind this word love. This word love, it's that kind of commitment. It's that kind of stick-to-itiveness. It's that kind of ferociously devoted, God-focused life. Are you sticking with God? With that level of passionate devotion. Even when things seem shaky. Even when you have your own crisis of confidence, even when things feel uncertain, do you stick with God like that? In the last part of verse 14, God says this confident protection comes because they acknowledge his name. They acknowledge his name. This means we come to know and experience and be all wrapped up in his character. His character. We live relying on who he really is. So even when your resources fall short, even when your own inner resolve feels like less than resolute, even when your own resources feel so weak and depleted, even when you are emotionally spent, and we all have moments like that, I do, especially in those moments, we can refocus on God's character. We can refocus on who he is and what he does and place our trust in him. And then notice the promises. Notice the promises. God says, I will rescue. I will protect. I will answer. I will be with. I will deliver. I will satisfy with long life. I will show them my salvation. Wow, amazing promises from the mouth of God. These are powerful. These are invigorating. And don't miss it. This sounds just like Emmanuel, just like our deliverer, just like our mighty Savior, just like Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, the one who crushes the serpent's head. Jesus, the one who guides us. Jesus, the one who said he would be with us and will never leave us or forsake us. Yes. Jesus. Life is secure when you stick with God. Now, why is such confidence so helpful? Why is such confidence so helpful? Well, I thought of several, a handful of reasons. Maybe you can relate to these. I can get too skeptical about life. Anybody else ever a little skeptical, a little jaded about life? I can get too skeptical. Here are some real complaints. The U.S. Forest Service received these actual complaints from backpackers after wilderness camping trips. First complaint. Trails need to be reconstructed. Please avoid building trails that go uphill. Second complaint. Too many bugs and spiders. Please spray the area to get rid of these pests. You're camping. It's the woods. Get over it. Here's a third one. Chairlifts are needed so we can get to the wonderful views without having to hike to them. I thought hiking was the point. This one's great. A McDonald's would be nice to have at Trailhead. Here's another. Too many rocks in the mountains. And finally, I love this one. The coyotes made too much noise last night and kept me awake. Please eradicate these annoying animals. Oh. We can all get too skeptical, too jaded about all kinds of things in life. And so we need greater confidence. I need greater confidence. You need greater confidence. The kind of confidence that only comes from the Lord God Almighty. I also can be paralyzed by fear. If I'm not careful, I get frozen in my tracks. I don't want to move. Things seem too fearful. It's also true, if I'm not careful, that I can sink into worry. So can you. I need greater confidence because there are plenty of days I can get too grumpy and grumbly. Anybody else with me on that? You get grumpy and grumbly? And the reality is, I see it in my own life, and it's true for all of us. I can live so circumstantial. So circumstantial. It's where I say, if my circumstances would just improve, or if the right new scenario would just find its way into this situation, or if the right people would just leave me alone. Have you ever picked out those people? If they would just leave me alone. The struggle with such circumstantial thinking is that we can't control the stuff that comes flying at us. Have you noticed that? That you can't really control the stuff that comes flying at you? That's called life. And if we gauge our security on our circumstances, then we're going to constantly live life on an emotional roller coaster. These words in Psalm 91 show us life is secure when you stick with God. Life is secure when you stick with God. So I invite you to stronger confidence with three confidence innovations. Three confidence innovations as we wrap up today. Here's the first one. Come to know God's character in greater ways. Come to know God's character in greater ways in advance. Don't wait until you're in the crisis. Don't wait until that moment that you're halfway down the slide and flailing around. Come to know his character in advance. One of the prime things that you can do to get to know his character is to actually spend time in places like Psalm 91. Commit it to memory. Work over his character qualities. Rehearse them in the morning and on your lunch break and at night before you go to sleep. If you ever have worry issues as you go to sleep, it can be incredible to review, to rehearse, to remind your heart and mind, to preach to your own heart and mind the good news, the gospel of who God is and how he rescues and how he saves. Come to know God's character in greater ways in advance. Here's the second confidence innovation. Cling to God when you are facing disaster. Cling to God when you are facing disaster. Don't quit. Determine to stick. Too many of us, our life implodes or explodes in some way. And what do? That's it. I'm done. I couldn't count on Jesus. Nope. And we give up and we quit. Over the years, I have found it astounding how many people it's in the crucible of life, it's in the crunch, it's in the catapulting down the water slide that they decide, I'm done, I'm bailing out. I'm bailing out on Jesus, I'm bailing out on Jesus' own people, I'm bailing out on church, I'm done, I quit, that's it. And that more than ever. It's in those times even more than ever that we need to cling close. Like that turtle, grab on, hold on. Cling to God when facing disaster. And here's a third innovation. Here's a third. Develop a day-by-day consistency with God. Develop a day-by-day consistency with God. It's the holy rhythms. It's the sacred disciplines. It's the drawing close. It's those repeated patterns. It's that regular rhythm of being with Christ every day in the Word and in prayer and in acts of service with others. It's being consistent, those sacred rhythms in and out day by day that builds into you, not just in crisis times, builds into you that confidence. Here in Psalm 91, we can't miss it. We can't miss it. That promise, I will be with you. That Jesus-like Emmanuel promise, I am with you through my strength with you, through my presence with you. You crush the serpent's head. You trample over the lion. I bring victory, Jesus says. His presence makes all the difference. His presence makes all the difference. It was summertime. I was about 8 or 9 years old, visiting my grandma and grandpa. And my grandpa had set up his old army tent out back so my cousins and I could play out there. And my cousin Eric suggested that we should sleep out there for the night. Oh, yeah, I said. I had never tented out. And I'm acting all big and mighty, because I was the older cousin. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. I said, oh, yeah, we can get snacks, and we could, oh, yeah. Maybe Grandpa let us build a bonfire. And Grandpa wasn't going to let us build a bonfire. But, I've got all these dreams and schemes about what this is going to be like that night. And so... about 9:45, 10 o'clock that night, we head out with our sleeping bags and our pillows, and we get into the tent. We've got our snacks, and we're good. And we settle in, and we do what you're supposed to do if you're 2 8- or 9-year-old cousins. We start laughing and telling stories and talking about all kinds of goofy stuff, and all of a sudden, I'm in the middle of a story. And all of a sudden, I pause as I'm telling the story, and I hear. Eric was asleep. It had been all of like 11 minutes that we've been out there, and he's asleep. And now he's asleep, and I've never tented out before. And suddenly, in the distance, I heard a wolf. I'm sure it was a wolf. How? It was the neighbor's dog. Now, but I'm sure it was a wolf. And in between the wolf, it's crickets. And in between there, it's what has to be a bear. It sounds like something growling. I mean, it was all this stuff in my head. And there was no way I was going to sleep. And so I unzipped the the tent, and I climbed out, and I go back to the house. I came in, and my mom and grandma were sitting there, you know, getting ready to watch the evening news, and mom says to me, are you okay? And, oh, yeah, I said, I just got to use the bathroom and get a drink. And, okay, she said, okay. So I went in, and I messed around in the bathroom, you know, drank like 20 little Dixie cups of water, and I came back out, and I stood there by the table, and I ate a cookie that Grandma had there on the counter, and finally my grandma looked at me, and she said, John, aren't you guys sleeping out? And I said, oh, yeah. And she said, well, are you okay? Yeah, grandmas are smart. She's sizing things up, and she says, are you okay out there? No, I said, I melted down, and she grinned, and she said, just a minute. And she marched back down the hall. My grandpa had already gone to sleep a half hour, 45 minutes before, and when you know it, out comes grandpa, blanket in hand like Linus, pillow over this shoulder. He says, come on, John. He says, and out into the tent we go, and we both got into the tent, and I laid there, and Grandpa said, are you going to be okay? And I said, yeah. And within a few moments, I could hear. And it was Grandpa snoring. But within just a few minutes more, I was asleep. Grandpa's presence made all the difference. Grandpa with us in the tent made all the difference. My fears subsided. The wolves quieted down. There were no more bears outside the tent. Grandpa's presence made all the difference. And through life's shaky challenges, through all of life's big shaky challenges, God's presence with you, the Most High, the Almighty's presence with you, makes all the difference. Life is secure when you stick with God. Gabby and the team are coming back. They're going to lead us in a closing song that focuses our hearts on His great faithfulness, His amazing faithfulness in our lives, and His presence with us. Will you join me in prayer? Let's pray together. Most High, Almighty One, El Shaddai, thank you so much for your promises, incredible promises right here. Thank you that you promise to rescue us. Thank you that you promise your protection as we acknowledge your name, your very character. Thank you that when we call on you, you promise to answer us. You promise that you'll be with us in trouble and you'll deliver us. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. We praise you for being our Emmanuel. We ask you in these moments and in the week ahead, please give us the courage, every ounce of courage we need to face every challenge, every setback, every heartache, every point of fear, everything that seems to come against us. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you promise that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us. Help us be the kind of people who instead of running in fear, stick with you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen.